How could they be helped? His wife was disconsolate too, Betty replied, when she left him, to live with this creation. Then she was happy that she could satisfy her sensuality. The love of God, even after 1,000 years, is effective everywhere. Missionary spirits will come here too to lead the lost on the path of conversion. Let us take them with us to where these missionary spirits work. Alagios willingly came with us. But we had to force the woman to come with us, because she did not want to come with us. We arrived at a hill, from which a view of a far-reaching plain opened. Many roads led to it. The hill was completely overgrown with magnificent, fragrant roses. A whole army was migrating to the hill. Some ran, others walked slowly, many were carried by good spirits, others were forced to go there. There were also some who left. I saw Laura also coming slowly. A glorious figure of light stood on the hill, an angel of God proclaiming grace. She spread out her arms in blessing, and spoke thus, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is what the Lord says to you. He receives the sinner to himself. No one is condemned, everyone can return, repent and become a child of God again. Do not doubt. The idea of eternal life is inexplicable, incomprehensible to you. You recoil from the thought that you need many sins and incarnations before you can become a child of God again. Many are worried about those whom you loved on earth. What will become of them, all of them? They ask. Some hope that the spirit will be destroyed, because that would put an end to all memory and remorse. You cannot think otherwise, because you are all fallen spirits, straying from the path of the law. You can see that you live in eternity, but also know that many means of improvement are at your disposal, only seize them." For a long time this bright angel spoke to these spirits in the voice of love. He looked into the soul of each one and addressed the appropriate word of comfort to each one. Many fell at his feet, begging for help. To the truly penitent the angel gave a rose, but to those in whose souls sincere confession would not yet come to life, he sent them back to their homes. Laura also begged for a rose for him, and the angel gave it to him. Alagios himself wanted to pluck a rose, but the thorns pricked his finger. The woman who clung to it wanted to lead him away, but he shook it off violently. "Deliver me from sin," he cried. "O angel of God, deliver me from the chains of adultery. Mary, who was once my wife, be merciful. Forgive me. I truly repent of my sin, O help me." Mary indeed appeared and stretched out her hand to him as a sign of her forgiveness. Then the wicked woman, as if blinded by Mary's appearance, tore herself away from Alagios. Mary offered Alagios a rose, and she was free to lead Alagios into the sixth sphere of this atmospheric ring, where we also went with them. Chapter 15. Third Atmospheric Ring, Sixth Sphere. A Sanatorium for the Insane. Southwest Wind. Under the influence of the Moon and Gemini. This is the resting place of sick and repentant spirits. The spirits of compassion bring the spirits of the insane here. This sphere may be called a great sanatorium. The air is pure and fresh and the sun shines brightly. In the magnificent forests, many flowers grow, and sweet birds sing. The spirits of compassion go from one sick spirit to another to comfort them. There are also healing spirits here who heal the sick spirits and bring them to new life. Not only the body but also the spirit suffers from madness. When a person is freed from his diseased system by death, he still feels tired and weak after the long struggle. These severely tried have their true resting place here. I met two acquaintances here. The first, Henry, who died in a mental asylum of cerebral atrophy. Here he had recovered from his illness and was living contentedly and happily in the middle of a beautiful forest. Wise sayings and short prayers were written on the leaves of the trees. He was absorbed in reading these peculiar writings. As soon as he noticed me, he came towards me with joy. "Dear Henry," I told him, "you are now freed from the bonds of the flesh and from all troubled thoughts. I am very glad to see you." "Yes, I am freed," he exclaimed in joy, "praise be to God. The last years of my earthly life were spent in gloomy solitude. How my spirit suffered under the pressure of a sick brain. I lived in darkness, half unconscious. Animal life oppressed everything else, this hurt my soul. After the death agony I felt freer, light penetrated my soul, but due to the persistent pressure of the brain on my spirit I was so weak that I fell into a prolonged faint. The spirits of my dear mother and brother brought me here with careful love, where I quickly recovered under their tender care. Often even now my spirit feels the former pressure of the brain, the burden of the body, but a few pleasant features of my mother immediately free my spirit. Here, surrounded by many good spirits, I feel so happy. Look! Here again is the group of compassionate spirits who bring here the poor, dazed spirits of people from the madhouses. I go there and help them. With that I left. The second acquaintance I met here was also Henrik. After his death, they said about him, he was a kind, good man, a little vain, proud of his ancestors, weak-willed, sometimes hot-tempered, but very kind-hearted. He was a troublemaker, but as they say, he had some minor loves. His cheerful disposition made his life pleasant, but he often felt unhappy. In his last years, he had a stroke and had to be taken to an insane asylum for a while. He was very happy to see me again. I recognized him as Agota, his last love, in his company. We sat down in the forest under a magnificent tree and started talking. Henrik, I would be very happy to tell you about my feelings after death. But then I would have to start 3 years before my death, because that was actually a small death. For a long time I had been feeling unwell, constantly dizzy, and as if some evil spirit had driven me to spend money and run after women. I lived in a sensual intoxication. I lacked the strong will to resist. Thus I came to the terrible fate of being driven mad by the rudeness of people and being locked up in a madhouse. In the first few days I did not feel so sad about my situation, because my mind was confused and dim, but when calm and insight returned later, I felt utterly unhappy. I was consumed and burned with shame that I, the 99th Eloklo, had been locked up, and that I had been given orders by a rude nurse whom I had to obey. I was greatly consoled when, at the request of my butler, John was allowed to stay with me. Even now, I ask the good God every day to reward John for this. It was also a great comfort to me that my nephew and my niece Itlka visited me. I was in the unpleasant situation of being only half mad, which is much worse than being completely mad. As a result of my mental illness, my spirit was, as it were, drugged. I only remember one strong physical shock, which was the last stroke. Slowly, human life ceased. And my body was dead, but I, from the death that had held me captive for 3 years. Ah, that was good. Some of my loved ones who had moved away earlier greeted me, but I was especially happy to meet my dear Agota, who was my last passionate love on earth and who had died 4 years before me, which caused me great pain and made me sad. She wanted to take me to the spirit world right away. No, I told her, let's not stay here until they bury me, I want to see if everything is done properly. So I watched how my good and dear Janos dressed me in my uniform, between bitter tears, and how they put the sword in the coffin beside me, which made me happy. I also liked the castle chapel decorated with coats of arms, because you know that I did not die in the insane asylum, but with one of my nephews, after my good Itlka had freed me from the institution. Itlka's tears deeply moved me. When everything was over, I said to Agota, show me your home in the spirit world right now. I know that I am a spirit, let old Henrik turn to dust in the grave. Now comes a new life and judgment. Now I will see whether I will go to hell, heaven, or purgatory. Agota said, you will be amazed, everything is different than you think. He took my hand, yes, I had a hand, a body, only transparent and light, I felt very pleasant in it. How do we leave Earth? I ask. You are still weak, Agota answered, I will pamper you and put you to sleep. Look, there comes your 100 guardian spirits, with their help we will reach our destination. I saw my guardian spirit for the first time. It was a beautiful angel. He stretched out his hand and said, "Die looking down at the earth, this is your true salvation." I knelt down, I became dizzy and lost consciousness. I woke up in a magnificent garden. My guardian spirit and Agota stood beside me. There were such beautiful Rizida, Lilac, and Lily of the Valley in the garden, and one of them sang beautifully. "Am I in heaven?" I asked. "No," my guardian spirit answered, "this is a sphere where tired earthly wanderers rest. Peace reigns here. Here we will read your whole life. I will show you all your wrong steps and omissions, because they are all written down." My guardian spirit now paraded large tablets before my eyes, like misty images. I saw my entire earthly life, all my sins, day by day. This review of my life was the real test. It hurt me a lot each time a sin of mine was revealed. When we reached the last nebula, death, I was completely broken that I had spent my life so uselessly. "We are finished with the examination," the angel said. "It has been exactly 1 year since you died on Earth." "Impossible," I said, and wanted to look at my watch. A year has never passed so quickly for me. During the examination, Agota was always by my side, and to refresh me, she brought me very good peaches and strawberries. The fruit here is transparent and seedless. Spiritualists would say that this is the soul of the peach. I also drank good fresh water. We absorb all this without digestion. The angel sometimes let me rest and sleep from one nebula to the next, which strengthened me immensely. "My dear guardian spirit, what is the result of my examination? Which spiritual category do I fall into?" I ask. The angel said, "You have sinned more out of weakness and frivolity than out of evil intent. Your will was weak, your passion was strong. Now you must learn obedience and subordination. Then shall I reach God?" I ask. The angel smiled. "Oh no. Not for long. I am your guide sent to you by God. Follow me. A home has been assigned to me, where I live with Agota. Here, everyone has a home. Every day we gather to study and pray. High spirits teach us. These lessons are very refreshing. As soon as someone gets better, he is given smaller tasks. Often they are journeys to Earth, to relatives, to help them, or to protect them from misfortune, or to help them in their death. For the first 3 years I was only a student, because I had much to learn. Gradually I received smaller assignments on Earth. So far I have no desire at all for an earthly body. I would like to live like this forever. Whenever I have inquired about one or another of my ancestors who have died before, they have always allowed me to visit them. Since almost all of them live in other spheres, I have already made many beautiful journeys. My nephew Henrik is at the same station with me. We live so cheerfully here together. We do not idle. I am not afraid that eternity will seem long. I must acquire a certain amount of faith, love, and wisdom, for I must surely be reincarnated on Earth to atone for my last useless life. Catherine, don't you remember, have you been incarnated many times? Henry, oh yes, many times. Now I know it as well as an actor knows his roles. I was once a reigning prince, and that developed the Gog in me. Then I was once a knight. I cannot tell you everything, it would take too long. I have seen all my incarnations in mists. I know I have seen myself and all my relatives. The future is hidden from us. The high spirits say that each one is the forger of his own future. I have seen our Savior 3 times. He visits all the worlds, and when he comes, we are filled with a heavenly feeling. I want to say one more thing. Let one beware of overly pedantic habits and passions on Earth. I was such a slave to habits and smoking. I smoked heavily, which I greatly missed in the spirit world. How often I longed for a good cigarette. Then I had the habit of constantly looking at my watch. I also greatly missed this, because I always wanted to know what time it was in Graz. A person should from time to time give up his habits and try to see if he can give them up. Because then as a spirit he feels very unpleasantly that he has to do without certain things. I was quite astonished to find myself completely without ancestors. Where were all these, the ancestors of whom I was so proud? It would have taken me a long time to discover them all. What have they been since then on earth? How many incarnations and crimes they have undergone? It is indeed as the high spirits say, namely, that true nobility is virtue, true power is love for God. My inclination for love adventures could have been dangerous for me even here. From the sphere in which we live, a populated area is visible. Many roads lead from one sphere to another. Once on such a road I met a pretty female spirit who had come from Earth and had recently died. I wanted to follow her, but my vigilant Agatha held me back. Then I saw that the more this female spirit went away, the uglier it became. She was a fallen woman, who had been taken to a place of punishment in the spirit world. I could have done well if I had followed her. I would have reached a place that I had already been very satisfied with on Earth. It will seem incredible to people if I say that I live here in a beautiful, large tent. After all, I am not yet a higher spirit. We are not all spiritual enough here to live completely without a home and nature. Just as our body here, I must use the word body, because I know no other word for it, has a human form, so does nature, our home, our needs, from sleep to food and everything that surrounds us. Only nothing is so gross and material as on Earth. The higher spirit says that we live in the soul of earthly things. Chapter 16, Third Atmospheric Ring, Seventh Sphere. The degree of good, conversions and reincarnations, changing winds, under the influence of Jupiter and Taurus, exerts healing power. Catalin, in this sphere the converted spirits from the spheres of this atmospheric ring gather to prepare themselves for reincarnation, for this is the sphere of good and simple people who die on Earth. The spirits who come here converted, when they enter this sphere, change their spiritual bodies. They must undergo a kind of death in order to awaken to a new life. In the fifth sphere we mentioned that the broken spirits receive a rose. They become dizzy and intoxicated by the scent of this rose. They fall into a death-like swoon, in which state their spiritual body is separated from their spirit, or rather is transformed into a lighter spiritual body. When these spirits awaken from their swoon, they exult in joy and happiness, their emotional and spiritual life awakens with double strength, and their spirit becomes clearer and more intelligent. They receive with rapture and gratitude the teachings of the spirits, which they receive here, and they prepare themselves for penance. This third atmospheric ring just described, with its spheres, is all under the law of reincarnation, because all have something to make amends for and to atone for on Earth. Without this penance they cannot enter the fourth atmospheric ring. Many speak on Earth against the doctrine of reincarnation. Many spirits do not want to know about it, who manifests on Earth, because in this respect they are still ignorant. The spirits are first instructed in this matter, some accept it, some reject it. How infinite is the amount of things that man does not know at death, and which will gradually become known to him only here, after his rebirth, through the instruction of the higher spirits. Reincarnations in the first atmospheric ring take place mechanically. That is, the spirit is forced by law to obey the command of reincarnation when a certain time cycle has passed. The spirits of the first atmospheric ring have descended animalistically due to their sins. Their will is evil, so they will be forced to obey the higher will at the end of a certain period. These incarnations are usually great punishments. Deformed, crippled, etc., are forms of existence that people, seeing, ask, is this God's justice and love? Yet God's justice and love lie precisely in penance and punishment. The spirits of the second ring are similarly subject to lawful incarnation. Their time of residence in the spirit world is much longer, as those of the first ring. These spirits must recognize and ask for incarnation as a means of balance and grace. The spirits of the third atmospheric ring live in the last period until incarnation. But this is still subject to the law of penance. Only the spirits of the good who reach the seventh sphere pass freely into the fourth atmospheric ring after a certain time. I have met many acquaintances in this sphere. I am communicating their statements to you in the manner and manner of speaking in which I received them. My first acquaintance there, Charles, said to me, "Greetings, my dear friend. You must be surprised to meet me here. My last earthly life, which I see before me in pictures, now seems to have been thoroughly mistaken. As a child of good, God-fearing parents, who were given a careful upbringing, I later did not at all meet their expectations. I had talents and easily learned literature, history, languages, music, and yet my mind did not take a good direction. I want to tell the truth, so that all those present can hear my confession. I abused the love and kindness of my parents and squandered my wealth on a person whom I thought I loved, but who only excited my senses." Here was page 105 in the online book. I had squandered all my health, youth, and money, and by the age of 30 I was already a troubled, morally and physically sick person. Then death came quite unexpectedly. I hardly knew what had happened to me when I heard the prayers of my relatives and saw the pain and tears of my father. I had been talking to a woman about spiritualism for a long time. His words about spirits came to my mind, and I knew now that the great change had come upon me, and at the same time I remembered my wasted life, my childhood, my youth, all that I had learned and read, and my sins appeared before me horribly, as if they were holding a judgment over me beside my dead body. That simple childish prayer came to my mind in the midst of my great distress, which my dear late mother had taught me in my childhood, and I began to pray it by my coffin. Here lay my dead body, the once promising, flourishing youth, now a withered mummy, and I, the spirit, stood by it, among my relatives, weeping with them for my wasted life. How much this life had been wasted in every respect, I alone know. That is why I prayed longer and more fervently. I looked up to heaven, asking God with fervent desire to send me an angel of consolation. While praying, I felt as if I were being lifted up and carried. I was overcome by a languor and fell asleep. When I awoke, I found myself in a gentle atmosphere. Before me stood a glorious angel, in whom, to my great joy, I recognized my dear mother. She said, "I have wept much for you and your errors. But God is merciful. He has heard my prayer and sent me to your rescue. Recognize the power of prayer and be transformed." Thus I became in the spiritual world zealous for good, strong in contrition and in the intention to serve God. I am ready to do everything that He trusts, and the manner of my reincarnation has already been communicated to me. Caitlin, I had a friend on earth who was goodness and selflessness. But his appearance was frighteningly ugly. He was small and hunchbacked. I often wondered how such a tall and pure spirit could have come to have such an ugly body. And now here I find my dear Nina in this sphere, as a wonderfully beautiful, shining spirit. She said, "Nina, is that so? You hardly know the ugly Nina. Ah, how happy I am now." The ugly, distorted body was a useful punishment for my former vanity, which had led me to commit a grave sin in a previous life. I have now put off my vanity. However, my hump was often difficult to bear. There were moments when I would shed bitter tears while walking away. But God was merciful. I have atoned for all my sins, and I am rewarded for it. And even great joy awaited me here. The poor, abandoned, ugly bachelor, whose life was spent without love. Here I found the spirit and friend appointed for me, with whom, united, I will work diligently and for God. In my penultimate incarnation on earth, I was a beautiful, powerful, and spiritually rich woman. My husband loved me, but I betrayed him, because my vanity knew no bounds, made me heartless and evil. Arriving in the spiritual world, I met my late husband. He received me kindly and lovingly, and his noble spirit awakened in me a sincere, deep repentance. No punishment seemed more terrible than to be born again on the same earth, and as an ugly, deformed woman, from whom men would turn away with disgust, and yet I willingly accepted this punishment, because I seriously wanted to improve. Oh, how many times have I asked myself in the mirror why the Creator had made me so ugly? I have done everything possible to win the love of people with kindness and love. The struggle was often quite difficult, but I have nevertheless won the hearts of many. Now she has cried out everything, and I celebrate with my dual spirit my spiritual rebirth, which is more glorious than any wedding on earth. Caitlin, I was completely captivated by the beauty of this spirit form. He was seen to have a noble spirit, love, and dignity, and I felt how strong a will he had. His dual spirit stood beside him, radiant with happiness and love. It is extremely interesting how many things and how many actions of man, which people on earth do not understand, become clear in the spirit world. Thus one of my cousins, who already had 6 children, adopted another poor child, to whom, as he said, he had a very special affection. No one could decipher it, and he himself certainly could not give an exact account of his affection for the child. In the spirit world this also became clear. My brother thought that he had adopted a strange child, but this was not the case. The spirit of the child was very close to him, and he was only fulfilling an important spiritual duty when he took the child who had been his in a previous life into his own. In this way many inspirations and many extraordinary things in human nature become clear. A very wealthy unmarried young man died suddenly. After opening his will, it was discovered that he had left his property not to his relatives, but to 2 strangers, and to a young girl, his childhood playmate and one of his best friends. People were quite amazed at this strange will. I met the spirit of the young man and I find his action completely justified. He followed the promptings of his spirit and the memory of another life. He said the following, "My spirit, I left the earth very willingly, and could not have wished for anything more than this sudden death, which was so sweet. I had every right to be happy, for all that men call earthly goods and happiness was at my disposal, and yet I was a stranger on earth. I had only come to settle old scores." The thought often occurred to me that I had lived on earth once, for life seemed very strange to me, and in the evenings, when I was alone, thoughts and feelings from another world surprised me. I did not communicate these to anyone. Almost every man carries within him a world known only to God and himself. People were astonished at my will and my arrangements, and asked, "How can a man leave his property to strangers?" Strangers? They are not strangers to me, and they were not then. I had and still have relatives by name who are strangers, and to whom I have gladly left everything I could. These are my closest spiritual relatives. I have an old debt to pay them. People say how strange it is that he left everything to them. But I remember not only this short time on earth, but also the earlier past. That young girl and that friend of mine are the spirits closest to me, and I owe them a great debt of gratitude, which I have just paid them. So do not be surprised at the dispositions of an eccentric. Everything has its reason, and I thank God that he guided me in this way and kept the willingness to balance awaken me. Caitlin, then the brother of ours, who recently died on earth, spoke, who was called Ed. "Ed, I will tell you, my dear brothers, something about my life with the greatest readiness. On earth, I lived in the big world and, as they say, occupied a prominent position. Now I have thrown off the ephemeral shroud, I am a spirit, and I find myself in a much more normal state than before. I look down at the whirlwind of the world, like a tired wanderer standing on a high mountain. I remember one of the days of my life. It was a hot summer day. I longed for the open nature and went up a hill near the city, from which a magnificent view opened. I sat there, lost in thought. The noise of the city still rang in my ears. I still felt the pain of the bad pavement in my feet. What does a person think about in such a sweet, melancholy mood, if not about love, infidelity, or politics, creditors, various things that do not want to succeed? The craftsman thinks of his daily work, the merchant of his business, the poet of his ideal, the man of the world of nothing, yawns and stretches, tired of life and its affairs, the chatter of the world. At such times a man thinks back to his childhood, delving into the memories that arise vividly in his mind. Are we no longer young and what was life like? It has become tasteless, monotonous, the same every day. The world is so commonplace with its accustomed principles, its intrigues and its customs.